Scripture reading today is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. But this is just the temporary spot. This is the pre-scripture, as it were. We will be spending the majority of our time in another scripture. But as we look at the topic today, and we look at the difficulties that are going on in our world around us, today we want to find focus, or maybe find where we should focus and things that we should think about. So we want to remind you today of the passage and topics that we have discussed at other times from Philippians 4, 4 through 7. And this will kind of lay some foundation as we will expound more in the book of John in just a moment. So let us read Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's just remind ourselves of a few things that we can highlight from that passage before we move to the book of John. First, in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. In the midst of our turmoils, we should be rejoicing in the Lord. And then it comes into one that maybe can be hard, depending on our personalities. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Our gentleness, our graciousness, our forbearance. We continue. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. That's that anxiousness that we have talked about, or you might have of your own at, from time to time. And verse 4, the next one is, it says there in verse 6 as well, let your request be known to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And this gets us to the point we find in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. Something that we can have, the peace of God, without completely understanding it and how it gets there. It's beyond us. But that peace of God is that which guards our hearts and minds. Your heart and mind might be under attack constantly, but that guarding comes through the peace of God, and we get that through prayer and supplications with thanksgiving and the rest of that passage. It does not say there will be peace around us. It says the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. And so with that, we want to turn our attention to John chapter 14. And we're going to read this in sections. We're going to read sections and then expound on them. So John chapter 14, verse 6. And verse 6 is, I don't want to say it's not paramount to our message, but I want to cover it because it's a good scripture to remind ourselves of. Verse 6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. Just to remind ourselves how to get to the Father. It's through Jesus. But let us jump down quickly then. John chapter 14 still, but down to verses 15 through 18. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Do you expect to have unity with God while living in disobedience? Do you expect to have the peace of God living outside of his will? We'll answer some of that as we continue in the message. Verse 17 reminds us, it says, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, it, the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is not available. They can't receive it because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. We have to be children of God, Christians, remembering that just because you are alive does not make you a child of God. You need to have the blood of Jesus to be a child of God, but the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth, because it neither sees him nor knows him. The Spirit of truth is not some entity out there. It's not some power. The Spirit of truth is a personality of the Godhead. Know him. Some would maybe confuse that doctrine. In the scriptures we will be reading, listen for, it says, my Father, Jesus, is returning to his Father. So we have God the Son referring to his Father, and Jesus also refers to the Holy Spirit as an individual, not in the sense of an individual as an earthly individual, but as a personality of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It says, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit was there, dwelling with them, but not in them. You might go to a church service and sense the moving of the Holy Spirit. Some might come to a service and sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon them because they're living outside the will of God. But he makes a distinction between having the Holy Spirit with you and having the Holy Spirit in you, pointing towards Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. But he tells them, you will have the Holy Spirit in you. Let us jump now to John 14, 22 through 24. Judas, not Iscariot. Remember, Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. This is not that Judas. It's Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Let's deal with that latter part first. "And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." In other words, Jesus is saying, what I just told you is under the authority of God the Father. Judas, in verse 22, speaks to our union available as Christians, not available to the world with Christ. How will you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? There's a difference between how the Lord will manifest himself to them, and by extension to us, than he manifests himself to those of the world. What is this difference? And so Jesus brings us clarity in verse 23. If we love him, if anyone loves me, if we love him, he will keep my word. And if we love him, keep his word, we will come to him and make our home with him. If you love him and obey him, you have fellowship with him. By contrast, if you don't love him or don't obey him, you cannot expect that fellowship. You cannot expect the abiding of God in your heart house if you're not loving him and obeying him. Loving and obeying. We have to love him and keep his word. There seems to be conditions on obedience. We should not expect to have fellowship with God if we are living outside of his word. You can't expect fellowship with Jesus just because you at one point went to an altar of prayer, asked Jesus into your heart, and then at some point stopped obeying God. You severed it. Now the scripture says, if you love me, you will do my commandments. You will follow my word. You can't go through activities as symbols that you love God. You have to actually love him and follow that up with obey. They work together. You cannot expect to have fellowship and abiding peace if you are choosing not to follow his word. So now let's look at John 14, 25 through 27. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, Some translations might say comforter. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Pretty powerful there. We see God the Father, God the Son, and the God of the Holy Spirit again. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He has given us this peace that's not available without him. It's not a peace that the world can provide. It's not a peace that you can find in a book. It's not a peace that you can find in a health self-help book. It's a peace that only God can give. The world cannot give it. So we see in this conditions, discussions around love. I want to draw us back to verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. A church or a group of people that have placed the name of themselves as a church does not necessarily make them part of the bride of Christ. When Scripture speaks of the church, it talks about the universal church. Universal church is also known as that. Now I want you to listen very, very carefully. In some theological texts, the universal church is also known as the small c Catholic Church, which is different from the Roman Catholic Church. See, the Roman Catholic Church was the Roman universal church, the Catholic Church out of Rome, out of the Vatican. But when we're talking about the church, God's church, I'm not talking about the Church of God denomination. I'm not talking about the Church of Christ denomination. I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about God's church. When he comes for his bride, God's church, just because a church has put a group of people have a building with the name on it that says church, does not that make them part of the bride of Christ. They have to be living in accordance to God's word. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, but as we see in these words of Jesus, everyone's not automatically saved for heaven. We think about James, faith without works is dead. There has to be a follow-through. You have to be obedient. There has to be a repentance. You might go and watch on TV someone that's got a whole stadium full of people, a whole coliseum, thousands and thousands. But if there's no preaching of repentance, that you've got to change your life, stop walking away from God and start walking towards God, Scripture tells me we have to obey His word. There has to be a change. It's not just a feel good. God loves everybody. He sent His Son. But God does not love everything that we do. But it seems to get a little more pointed. Seems to be a little conditional in the realizing of God's love. Stick with me. He loved the world, so He gave His Son. But realizing His love to the point that you're able to have a relationship and a fellowship kind of love is conditioned on you being obedient. We have to guard our hearts and minds, because some will preach that God loves it all. He does not. He hates sin. And those living in sin are not going to have the fellowship of love attained through the blood of Jesus. He loved us all, and Christ came and died. But if you want the fellowshipping love, you have to be obedient. You can't have that without obedience. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them. He who has my commandments and keeps them. Reminds us from the book of James. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We are accountable for what we know. Children are become, we talk about the age of accountability, which is not a certain age, but an age of understanding. Some people don't have the same levels of understanding. Some through various conditions may have limitations on their understanding. God holds them accountable to the level of understanding that they have. This is consistent with our Wesleyan Arminian doctrine. I won't go into that at this point, but this is a reminder of that. But those who have His, verse 21, my commandments and keeps them, it is He who loves me. And He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Step through this. You have His commandments and you keep them. Demonstrates you love Him. And if you love Him, you will be loved by my Father. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. Catch that again. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And how you demonstrate that love? Through obedience. So if you're obedient to God, you demonstrate your love for Jesus, the Father will love you. And I will love Him and manifest myself to Him. So when you go into a church and God loves everybody and everything they do, that's not true. You're not going to have the fellowship with God unless you're obedient to God. You're living outside of His obedience. You're living outside of fellowship. You can't go into a relationship with God and do whatever you want and then say, God loves me, but it's okay. No, it's not. You can't say, I was born that way. Because we're all born in sin. Whatever you're wanting to do, it doesn't really matter. You can use all the excuses you want. Some people have a a tendency to alcoholism. Other people have a tendency to other gambling. Other people have a tendency to other, I can go on and on. We can't just excuse all those and say, oh, it's okay, that's how my tendency, that's how I was born. So God loves me so I can keep doing it. No, we were all born in sin. And if it was all okay, then why did Jesus have to die? I saw somebody make on a post or someplace the concept, if because of sin, God was willing to crush his son on the cross and have him go through that pain and go through that suffering to the point that Jesus says, my God, why has you forsaken me? Who are you to think that God will not crush you if you're living in sin? He did not spare his own son. But you think he's going to spare you? Because you're like, well, I was born this way, or I like to do it, or I can't help it. God loves us anyhow. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. There is some condition in there. To have the fellowship, we have to be obedient. Don't expect the blessings of God living outside the precepts of God. Don't expect the blessings of God living outside his precepts. Who are you? Are you God that you can decide what's good, what's wrong, what's right, what's better? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's when we can have peace. Not the world's kind of peace, because the world doesn't understand peace. They can't bring you the peace. There is all these warrings and wars going on, and there's sickness and death. And how can we have a peace in the midst of that? Well, it's a peace that's beyond understanding. But we can't have access to that peace living outside the precepts of God. A broken and a contrite heart is what he expects. Scripture tells us throughout the Old Testament, we'll find different places and throughout Scripture of it's not the offerings and sacrifice he desires, but it's a broken and contrite heart. If we are in living in obedience and we go do those activities and those acts of worship in love, it's meaningful. Otherwise, it's empty. It's empty. But if, we have the love of Jesus. We're following God. Then when the preacher comes and preaches the funeral about your life, the family looks on and they can have a peace knowing that you're in the right place. You're with Jesus. And as followers of Christ, they envelop that same peace. They have that same hope of God, the Holy Spirit, having communion with them, but also in them. That's where we get peace. That's where we get peace. Let's be standing together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the peace that passes understanding, and we pray that we all would be living in the center of your will. And know that that's where the peace is at. That the turmoil we cause by fighting against you just keeps us from the peace, the But the devil's a liar. But grace is not cheap. We can't just do whatever we want. Try to pull out some get out of jail card. Oh, I got the love of Jesus. Help us to realize we can't get to heaven on some free pass that costs a lot, and you expect our obedience. May you remind us today, help us today, to keep moving on, keep fighting on, and trusting in your word, we pray in Jesus' name.